I love you, bro. You're awesome. Continue to pray for those guys. It's a life-changing experience. When Stella and I went to Mobile Mission Maintenance in Victoria some 10 years ago, or a little bit more than that now, in no way did we think that would shape the rest of our lives in serving in ministry. So we're thankful to that experience that we had and a trip to PNG, a short-term trip that I did in 2001. But that aside, we come today to talk about the importance of baptism and what that means to us as a church and what our stand is as a church and the way that we do baptism. There's a few different ways that people do it, and we'll go through the way that we do our baptism, why immersion is so important to us. But first, let's pray and open our hearts and our minds to the Lord's leading this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love and mercy that you give to us. And we thank you for the rite of baptism. We thank you, Father, that it is an outward symbol of inner faith. So bless us, we pray, as we celebrate and rejoice today with each other, casting aside the worries of the world and come into this sanctuary to be blessed and to know that we are loved by you. So we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open up to Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to read a passage of Scripture from verses 8 to 15. And then I'll share some thoughts and keep them as brief as we can as we enter then into communion. And I want to start from verse 6, actually, we'll go back to. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits. Easy for me to say. Of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of the rule of the authority. In him also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, which you also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to a cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them open to shame by triumphing over them in him. A very profound passage. So we don't come today to see two people take a bath. There's no soap, there's no shampoo. We come today because we're going to baptize these people who want to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. He triumphed over death. He forgave us our sins. And when he died and shed his blood and he was buried and he rose again, we have the hope of eternal glory in our hearts. So the resurrection of Jesus is so important. You know, when I was talking to Fiona, she said to me, "Don't hold me down under the water too long." And Nikki said, "As long as possible, please." You see, Nikki, we don't need to actually kill someone for them to raise to death. It's symbolic. We want to put your mum under the water and bring her out as symbolically that this is what Jesus taught us about baptism, that we identify going under the water and coming out. So what do we believe about baptism? Let's go through five things very quickly. It is commanded by the Lord. Matthew 28, 19 to 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit." We see that. So the verb of going, that's a natural thing. We go and we disciple people. We make disciples. We tell them the goodness of God. We tell them who Jesus Christ is, what he's done for them. And then we baptize them. We don't need to put them through 10 years worth of discipleship programs in order for them to be baptized. It's by the confession of their faith that they enter into the water and come out again, and then we teach. You see, it's very clear. It is a command of Jesus. Baptize. And amongst that is in all nations. You notice it goes and spreads it out from there. Acts 1:8 typically says that. You will be my witnesses here, out there, beyond there, from Wellington to New Zealand, the other parts of the world. So we see some young people coming today, standing at the front to go out and proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ and learning themselves of what that looks like in a foreign country. We support missionaries in other countries who will do that on our behalf as we support them. Well, really, on God's behalf. So we are part of a global evangelistic network of discipleship making. You know, there's a promise in verse 20, and it says, "Behold, I am with you to the end of the age." Sometimes when the going gets tough, and that can happen after baptism or in life, we need to hang on to that promise that God is with us, even to that very end of the age. So what we endure now will become well again in the future when we're sitting in the highest heavens with God to our eternal rest. And what a wonderful thing that'll be. We don't know when that age is. Christ will return, whether we're in the grave, literally, or it could be today or whenever it is, and we're not to dwell on that. We're to just keep making disciples, continue on that path of discipleship making, baptizing people and teaching them. We don't know when he's going to be. There are some, or even in recent times, in the last 12 months, they've put a date on the blood moon. This is when it's going to happen. And it was all false prophecy. Don't be shipwrecked by that. Just keep moving, keep working, keep loving Jesus. And then we see baptism shows the union with Christ. In Romans 6:3-4, it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might too walk in newness of life." This life is a new life. And boy, the old man bites sometimes. But it is a new life. A life that we walk before Jesus Christ, before our Heavenly Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, who convicts us as we read Scripture and the way that we should act and conduct our lives. That shows the union. If you live contrary to what God is saying to you through his holy word, how can you be united? We must walk according to that pattern. Now, it would be a mistake in the wider context of Romans to say that it is by baptism you have been saved. No, it is by faith you have been saved. It is the faith in Jesus Christ. You know, when I got married, I got a ring. Elijah and Carla just got a ring. And Steve and Heather just got a ring. The ring is just the symbol that Stella and I are married. And she broke my knuckle so I'd never be able to get it off. Not at all. Football injury. You see, the covenantal promises that Stella and I made to one another is I said yes and she said yes, and we love each other and adore each other and live together, and despite all of our frailties and weaknesses, we commit to her. I commit to her and she commits to me. And I'm so thankful that my wife has been able to do that. And I've been able to do that with my wife, but this ring is just a symbol. Today we find the symbolic nature of baptism, of going in the water and coming out, as a symbol of what's actually working on inside. You see, Asher and Fiona believed that the Lord Jesus Christ saved them from their sins, and they said yes to Jesus. And Jesus promised to care for them and look after them. They promised to walk in, not in rebellion, not in idolatry, not in unbelief, but to walk before him wholeheartedly saying, thank you, Lord. That is the connection that they have. And we see baptism is immersion in water. You see, we believe this is an expression of union with Christ. Again, union is accepting Jesus, living for him, but this is a physical display. And sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we think that the testimony is in what people say in front of a microphone. That's not the testimony. That is their life story. The testimony is in the water, because that is where the command lays. Go into the water and come out in new life. That's why they are buried, and that's why they rise up. That's why we take them out of the water, Nikki, so they don't drown. You know, there's a few other pointers about immersion. Ethiopian eunuch, he was sitting in his chariot. The Spirit brings along Philip. He said, what are you reading? He said, well, how can I tell? Do you know what you're reading? Well, explain it to me. So Philip shares the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch points, there's some water. What prohibits me from being baptized? Nothing. In John 3:23, we see he was baptizing in Ainon near Salem because the water was plentiful there. Wasn't a cup full. When Jesus was baptized, went under. You see, we get this immersion picture throughout its scripture, signifying the death and the burial and the resurrection with Jesus. It's an important thing. And then we see this fourth thing. It is a triune affair. When you enter into the waters of baptism, you are become a believer in Christ, when you become a believer in Christ, you are identified with the triune God. You are identified with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, our minds sometimes struggle, and people struggle theologically, because we can't separate the three. And when Greg was here earlier this year, he explained to us what that looked like. You know, in that passage it says, go therefore into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit. It implies the three are one. It doesn't imply anything else. It implies, quite rightly, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And the three are triune. There is no salvation without the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Son died on the cross, and the Spirit was sent that we might learn to live according to his purposes. We might learn to live before a holy God, and we might learn to live with each other for his glory, not our own. We depend on him, we honour him, and we love him. And baptism is for believers. In Colossians 2:12, we've been buried with him in a baptism. And we're also raised with him through faith. I mean, the words faith are very important. Because without faith in the one you're being baptized before, there's no point in being baptized. All you're doing is literally having a bath, which is quite nice, and the water's warm. But the reality is through faith we are baptized. It shows our faith in Christ. It's the drama of that death and resurrection. I'm identifying myself publicly. You know, these days in churches we build baptismal pools, and that's great because we're gathering here together and we're witnessing those things. But in the old days it wasn't the same. Remember the story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember the story of John baptizing. Remember Jesus' baptism. It was out in the open for all to see. And that meant something. That means you are moving away from the old order into a new order under faith in Christ. You are identified. And that meant something. And persecution was probably coming. You see, it is this drama. In Galatians 3:26 and 27 it says, "In Christ Jesus you are the sons of God through faith. For as many as you were baptized into Christ, having put on Christ, we become sons of God through faith and no other way." You hear that? No other way. Then he says, "For," connecting this way of becoming sons of God with baptism. "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ through faith alone." And "for" makes sense that baptism is understood as acting out in faith. Have you been baptized? Have you been baptized as a sign of obedience to your living God? So baptism is important. Baptism is the way that we show our faith. Yes, we go out and we evangelize and we talk to people about our faith, but we are commanded to take that step of baptism. So the question I have, are you baptized? Today Fiona and Asher will be baptized in obedience. I think it was an uncompromising command of Jesus to be baptized. And it was universally administered to Christians entering into the early church. I don't think you'd say, "Oh no, I won't, I'll pick and choose when that happens." And it is uniquely connected to your salvation experience in Jesus Christ. Uniquely connected. And I think it's an unrepeatable exercise. You get saved and you get baptized. You get saved and baptized and go under the water and come out again. You don't go over and keep doing it. You've been forgiven your sins. An unrepeatable expression of saving faith, of loving Jesus. Are you obedient to that cause? I have no problems in saying that. That's why we do immersion baptism. One of the other rites we have in this church is communion. And we're going to share that now. Where every week we come as this church and remember. And we acknowledge what Jesus has done on the cross for us. We say, "Lord, thank you for giving your son's body," as harsh as that sounds. And that makes me uncomfortable every time I pray. "Thank you for giving your son to us." It seems so selfish and it seems so harsh, but I read in scripture he was pleased to crush him for our sake. Do you understand that cost? Do you really grapple with the cost, what it was for Jesus to come and shed his blood and be beaten mercilessly? Every time I see an image, tears well up in my eyes. He did that for me and for you. I don't understand that. But I know if it's the way that I get to heaven, I can only say thank you. If it's the only way I can reconnect with God as one of his creatures, I say thank you. If it's the only way I can be saved because I'm filthy rags, I say thank you. So we take the bread and we break it. And we take the cup as a reminder that all of those filthy rags and all the things that we've done has been washed away. And we live the complications of our sin on the day-to-day life. But we are forgiven. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. So do you believe that you are forgiven? Do you believe that you are a child of God? Because if you are a child of God, you can take communion. But if you have not accepted Jesus, like baptism, there's just pass on. Just let it go. Don't be embarrassed. But reflect on the goodness of God as we've shared this morning what God expects from us. To be obedient to Him, to live according to His commandments, to worship Him, and to keep ourselves clean. So we're going to pray now with the servants who are sharing, coming to distribute the bread and wine. Could you come forward, please? And I'll pray. Marielle, I just ask you to break the bread after I pray. Thank you. So let's just take 15 seconds before I pray. Just quietly bowing your heads, closing your eyes. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make you more holy than another one if you close your eyes or open them. And just give a personal thanks to God for what you are about to receive. And then I will pray. Holy Father and loving Lord, we thank you this morning that you sent your Son to the cross for us. You sent your Son to pay the price for us. Again, as we've reflected, Lord, before you this morning, the brutality we don't understand. But we know that, as your word said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. So, Father, we know that herd animals didn't take away the penalty of sin, but your Son has. So as we take this bread and this cup and pass it from one to another and give of our offerings of thanksgiving to you, we say thank you for who you are, what you've done in our lives, and the fact that we might live for joyfully before your throne of grace. And that we might live with joy that people who see us will want to know more about your Son who takes away the sin of the world. So thank you for the bread and the cup. In Jesus' precious name, amen.